Laudato Jesus Christus. This is the English program of Vatican Radio.
Hello and welcome to our Vatican Weekend English feature program. I'm Susie Hodges and I'll be with you for the next half hour. Coming up on today's program, The Pope and the People. We bring you a report on Pope Francis's general audience, where he urged world leaders to listen to the cry of the earth and of the poor and to protect creation. Awaiting the Pope, the Apostolic Nuncio to Colombia speaks to us about the enthusiasm and expectations surrounding Pope Francis's upcoming pastoral visit there. Encouragement and reconciliation. Britain's former ambassador to the Holy See, who's an expert on Colombia, talks about the main themes underpinning this papal visit. And a saint of darkness. We revisit the figure of Mother Teresa of Calcutta, who was raised to sainthood a year ago, and find out why she used this phrase about herself. We begin our programme with a report on Pope Francis's Wednesday general audience, where he urged world leaders to listen to the cry of the earth and the cry of the poor and take measures to protect the environment. The Pope's remarks came in an appeal after his general audience, where he announced that he and the Ecumenical Patriarch Bartholomew I would be releasing a joint statement on September the 1st to mark the World Day of Prayer for Care of Creation. Stephen Watkins reports.
Pope Francis at his Wednesday general audience continued his catechesis on Christian hope, reflecting on the relationship between hope and memory. The Holy Father also called to mind the third iteration of the World Day of Prayer for the Care of Creation, to be commemorated this coming Friday. The Pope said he and my dear brother Bartholomew, Ecumenical Patriarch of Constantinople, had prepared a message to be released on September 1st.
Invitiamo tutti ad assumere un atteggiamento rispettoso e responsabile verso il creato.
In the message, the Holy Father said, we invite all to assume a respectful and responsible attitude towards creation. He said the two church leaders also appeal to all who occupy influential roles to listen to the cry of the earth and to the cry of the poor, who suffer most as a result of ecological imbalances. In the catechesis portion of his audience, Pope Francis invited the faithful gathered in St. Peter's Square to have a youthful, searching heart, one full of desire for life and happiness. It is this restless heart, he said, which allows one to come to Jesus. Reflecting on the call of the first disciples, the Pope said Jesus appears in the Gospels as an expert on the human heart. When two young men, John and Andrew, come seeking Jesus with healthily restless hearts the day after his baptism in the Jordan, Jesus inflames their hearts.
I giovani che non cercano nulla non sono giovani, sono in pensione.
Pope Francis said young people who seek nothing are not young, they are pensioners. They have aged before their time. Turning to the theme of vocations, the Holy Father said the first disciples found their call while meeting Jesus. He said this encounter ignited a flame in their hearts, which immediately transformed them into missionaries. Their story, the Pope said, reminds us of our own vocation.
Matrimonio, vita consacrata, sacerdozio.
Marriage, consecrated life, priesthood, he said, every true vocation begins with an encounter with Jesus that gives us a new joy and hope, and it leads us to an ever fuller encounter with him. Pope Francis advised the faithful to be like the Virgin Mary, who keeps the flame of her love for Jesus. Certainly there are trials in life, he said, but Christians know the road that carries them to that sacred fire that has inflamed them once and for all. Finally, Pope Francis presented the faithful with a way to keep the flame of love alive in their hearts.
Ricordarsi di Gesù.
Here, therefore, is a fundamental dynamic of Christian life, he said. Remember Jesus, the fire of love with which one day we conceived of our life as a plan for good and to revive our hope with this flame. I'm Devin Watkins.
Pope Francis is set to make a 5-day pastoral visit to Colombia from the 6th to the 11th of September, the third pope to visit the Latin American nation. He begins his trip in the capital, Bogotá, and also will visit the cities of Medellín, Cartagena, and Villa Vicencio. The Apostolic Nuncio to Colombia is Archbishop Ettore Balastrero, and he spoke to us about the enthusiastic mood and expectations in the Latin American nation just ahead of the Pope's arrival there. The Nuncio was interviewed by Linda Bordoni.
Are the people of Colombia ready to welcome Pope Francis?
They are not just ready, they are enthusiastic to welcome Pope Francis. A Pope is coming to Colombia after 31 years. The last visit of the Pope was in 1986, Pope John Paul II. And Pope Francis is considered to be a friend of Colombia, a friend who is coming to encourage people. He's coming as a pilgrim, a pilgrim of hope, a pilgrim of faith, a pilgrim of reconciliation. So I would say there is a high expectation all over the country, and I think people are extremely happy to receive him, honored of his visit, and ready to show him, I would say, the warmth and the hospitality and also the effectivity and the effectiveness of these people.
The motto of his trip is, let's take the first step, and that means many things. Of course, the eyes of the world are on the ongoing peace process, but his journey is very much a pastoral one as well. He's coming to affirm his flock in their faith. What are they expecting from him?
He is considered to be the friend who can help to take a step, as you said, towards God and therefore towards our brothers. So we will insist on the importance of taking the step of donating love, of building bridges. And this step is, first of all, a step towards Christ. Colombia, in the end of the day, is the seventh country in the world as far as the number of Catholics is concerned. The Pope, therefore, will strengthen awareness that Christ is close to each Colombian person. That faith is not an antique, nor, let's say, the illusion of those to whom all hope has been robbed. But Christ is rather the source of freedom. Christ is the source of happiness. He is the only one who can give full meaning to the life of Colombian people. And therefore, in this perspective, the Pope also will encourage to take a step towards their brothers, to look at their brother with new eyes, eyes full of hope, to share love and to share respect inside the families, in the villages. The Pope presumably will invite not to fall and to avoid corruption and to avoid polarization. He will invite, will teach us how to balance truth and mercy in the construction of the new country. Because a truth without mercy is not Christian, because that doesn't take into account the concrete existence of the person. But also, I would say, a mercy without truth is not Christian, because that doesn't take into account the dignity of the human person. Therefore, the Holy Father will help and will guide us in striking this balance and in building up a society which is effectively respectful of God and respectful of man.
You use the word truth and reconciliation, and truth is certainly necessary for reconciliation. The Catholic Church in Colombia has been a pillar so far in this journey. What do you think he's going to tell his brother bishops? Is he going to thank them for the work they've done? Is he going to encourage them to continue in this very important and difficult process?
I think exactly that he will invite, I presume, the bishop and the church in Colombia to be close to its people, to share their hopes and their sufferings, to take them in their hands and to take them to God with the example of life and with the teaching of the church herself. Just like it was done by the parish priest of Armero and by the bishop of Arauca. They will be both beatified by the Pope in Villa Vicencio as martyrs. They have been killed in Odium Fidei, as we say, The parish priest of Almero could be defined as this, the saint of forgiveness, because he died while he was forgiving those who were killing him. And he said he was happy and thankful to God that he could give his life and his blood, share his blood for Almero, which was his village. So I think this is a very powerful example of how the church is called to lead people with her life, with the life and the witness and the testimony of her members, and with encouragement of their words. As far as, of course, more in general, I think the church is called to build now bridges within society, to help to bridge, to build a new country, an inclusive country, a country which is really respectful of God and of the whole population that composes this country.
Are you hopeful, Archbishop, that this will actually come about?
I think that the future is open. That depends on the Colombian people in the end of the day. So the Pope will, I'm sure, will disseminate his words, his encouragement all over the country. And now it depends on the people to take it on board, to live it, and to reflect seriously on what the Pope says and to live it daily. And this is up to them. I see goodwill, but we will just be able to see it in the near future.
And that was the Apostolic Nuncio to Colombia, Archbishop Ettore Balestrero, speaking to Linda Bordoni. A senior British diplomat, Nigel Baker, who's an expert on Colombia, said the papal visit there is an extremely important sign of encouragement for the nation's peace deal and will help promote reconciliation. The former British ambassador to the Holy See, Baker is head of the South America Department at the Foreign Office in London, which has an important diplomatic relationship with Colombia. Pope Francis's visit to Colombia comes at a crucial moment for the nation, that's in the throes of implementing a peace agreement with the FARC rebels after a 52-year civil conflict that left nearly a quarter of a million dead and 7 million people displaced. Baker was interviewed by Linda Bordoni shortly before the start of the papal visit.
It's no secret that Pope Francis is going to Colombia precisely in this moment of time, and one of the highlights of his journey will be his presence at several acts of reconciliation, including a mass, a prayer in the Villa Vicencio. How important do you think his presence will be in this context?
I think his presence will be extremely important. I mean, for me, there are three key things for Pope Francis to do during his trip. It's acknowledgement, reconciliation, and encouragement. Acknowledgement is, in a sense, his presence is acknowledging the extraordinary progress, the extraordinary journey that Colombia has been on over the last few years. I think several years ago, if you asked most Colombians whether the FARC would have laid down its arms and converted itself from an armed struggle to a political party, they would have looked at you as if you're mad. Although, of course, still there are other groups and other criminal elements. The peace process is not over yet, but the extraordinary progress that has been made needs to be acknowledged. Acknowledged by the Nobel Prize Committee and has been acknowledged by the Pope coming to Colombia and, in a sense, blessing the work and the efforts of the peacemakers on all sides. The second thing, support for reconciliation. We know from our experience in Northern Ireland, in the UK, that no conflict is over until there has been some form of reconciliation between different parties to the conflict and all those involved. I think it's incredibly important that Pope Francis will be meeting victims of the conflict and leading prayer for national reconciliation when he's in Bogota. It's an essential element in taking a peace process forward and healing wounds following a conflict. And the third aspect, the encouragement. If you want to look at a report card of the peace process in Colombia, it would probably read, lots of progress made, but still a great deal of work to be done. It's one thing to sign the documents and say peace has now been assured, another thing to make certain that that actually happens. That requires really hard work for the government, hard work for the different groups involved, hard work for the people of Colombia who have got used, in a sense, to a reality of conflict, and it's difficult to adjust and to seize the opportunities that end of conflict offers. So I think, you know, the Pope coming, you know, he'll be looking forward, I'm sure, rather than looking backwards, looking forward to the future work that has to be done, the implementing and the possibilities that real and genuine peace can achieve for Colombia.
Now, you yourself mentioned that the ELN is still negotiating an agreement, and there are other paramilitary groups that are active. So the wounds on Colombian society are very, very deep. Do you think the Colombian people will be able to overcome?
I think it's very tough. Again, if you look at a situation like Northern Ireland, you know, we had years of troubles in Northern Ireland, Good Friday Agreement, and 20 years on, I don't think you can say that everything has been achieved that one would want to see achieved. Northern Ireland has made enormous strides, has made great progress, but there's still work to do. I think we can expect the same with Colombia. Inevitably, the initial euphoria with the peace agreement leads to people thinking, right, that's it, it's all solved, it's all done. But there's a huge amount of work to be done. But I really do think that the Colombian people have the capacity and the ability to turn the page, because this is what it's about. It's about turning a page from a difficult past and recognizing, and this is something that's, I think, something a common thread across all Colombians, recognizing the real opportunities for themselves, their country, looking ahead. I think Colombia has a really bright future in terms of economic development, in terms of cultural, social development, in terms of the many possibilities that peace opens up for what is a beautiful country. And I think that the Pope's visit will help to reinforce the sense that with joint effort, with real focus, Colombia can achieve the real fruits and benefits of the end of conflict.
Pope Francis is the third pope to travel to Colombia after Pope Paul VI back in 1964, Pope John Paul II in 1986, and they both called on the leaders to work to lessen the huge gap between the rich and the poor. I have a feeling that Pope Francis will do the same. What do you think?
It wouldn't surprise me at all if he does exactly that. I mean, it has been a feature of his visits overseas, including his various trips to Latin America. One of the sources of conflict globally, but you know, in Latin America particularly, has been the poor distribution of wealth, gap between rich and poor, and the failure, historic failure of governments to address that gap between the haves and have-nots. It has been an essential thread throughout Pope Francis' papacy. He has always insisted that dealing with issues of poverty and differences in wealth, it's not just an economic issue, it's actually about security as well. So coming to a country that's coming out of major conflict, I'm sure he will want to remind all those he speaks to that guns, it's about establishing a social and economic framework that prevents conflict re-emerging. And a key part of that will be around tackling poverty and seizing the economic opportunity that the space that Colombia has now given itself with peace provides that opportunity to really make something more of Colombian society, make much better society. And I'm sure these are going to be key messages from Pope Francis throughout his trip.
As someone who knows the country, can I ask you what other issues you think he might focus on?
I think that certainly Colombia will give him an extraordinary welcome. I'm very struck by the deep faith of Colombians. I suspect that one of the issues that has been a key issue for his pontificate, and it's something very important for Colombians, is the environmental concerns. When President Santos came to the United Kingdom last year on his state visit, working together to tackle climate change, tackle deforestation, to strengthen and support biodiversity, to find environmental ways of developing the economy, were all issues that were discussed in some depth. And I can imagine that Pope Francis, with his deep care for the planet and his recognition that we are custodians of the planet, will want to address, particularly in the context of Colombia, which has a large part of Colombia, of the country, which is Amazonian, is one of the most biodiverse countries in the world, and has the potential to be a world leader in this area.
Thank you very, very much. Is there anything you'd like to add to that, or any extra hope you may have for this visit?
My hope, my certainty is that Pope Francis will be extremely well received, and that Colombians who have different political views, there are Colombians with different religious views. It is a country that has been divided, and there are political divisions that continue in Colombia. My hope that Pope Francis' visit will show Colombians that they have much more in common in looking forward to the future of their country than the things that divide them, and will bring the different positions a little bit narrower, bring Colombians a little bit closer together.
And that was Britain's former ambassador to the Holy See, Nigel Baker, speaking to Linda Bordoni. A year ago, one of the world's best-loved religious figures, Mother Teresa of Calcutta, founder of the Missionaries of Charity Order, was raised to sainthood at a mass in St. Peter's Square, presided over by Pope Francis. But what kind of a person was this woman, who was already widely revered as a saint during her lifetime? In this special report, we bring you the voice of St. Teresa, culled from Vatican Radio's archives. Sound clips where her love and compassion for all those in need or suffering shines forth.
I feel if the world today turns its back to the poor, I think they are turning their back to Christ. The work is only a means to put our love for Christ into action. And so I had only to change the way of work, the means I had to change, to work for the poorest of the poor. So my vocation was a continuation of belonging to Christ and being only His.
Founder of the Missionaries of Charity Order, Mother Teresa was one of the world's best-known and loved religious figures. Throughout her long life, she was revered for her holiness and her compassion towards the poorest of the poor, and was often known as the Saint of the Gutters. She received numerous awards for her work, including the Nobel Peace Prize in 1979. Mother Teresa was unstinting in her charity work on behalf of the poor in nations like India, but she also often voiced her concern about what she called the spiritual poverty of the richer Western world.
There is two kinds of poverty. We have the poverty of material, like for example, in some places like in India and Ethiopia and Yemen and other places, where the people are hungry for a loaf of bread, a real hunger. But there is much deeper, much greater hunger, and that is the hunger for love, and that terrible loneliness and being unwanted, unloved, being abandoned by everybody.
In a talk she once gave, Mother Teresa gave this eloquent and moving description of her feelings after visiting an old people's home in England, where nobody lacked for material comforts, but what they did lack was something far more precious and elusive.
I visited a home, one of the best homes in England. Our sisters are there working. I have never seen so much wonderful things in a home like I saw in that home. And yet, there was not a single smile on the faces of those people. All these old people, they were all looking towards the door. And I asked the sister in charge, and I said, sister, why are they like that? Why are they not smiling? I'm so used to see smiles on people's faces, because I think smile generates smiles, just as love generates love. And then she said, this is every day like that. They're always waiting for somebody to come and visit them. The loneliness is eating them up. And for days after days, they keep on looking. Nobody turns up. That unwantedness is great poverty.
And that was the voice of Mother Teresa of Calcutta, who was canonized on September the 4th, 2016. 10 years after her death, a book containing a collection of Mother Teresa's letters was published, revealing for the first time the astonishing truth of how she spent many decades struggling with doubts about her faith. The book was edited and compiled by Father Brian Kolodejczuk, a Missionaries of Charity father who worked closely with Mother Teresa for 20 years. He was also the postulator for her sainthood cause.
From the letters that we discovered when we began collecting the documents that were published in Come Be My Light, to the surprise, if not shock, of everyone, even the sisters closest to Mother Teresa, we discovered that her interior experience was what she called the darkness, and that, remember, she's a woman passionately in love with Jesus, wants to love him as he has never been loved before. And then her experience is, after she has experienced this real contemplative prayer, real union with Jesus, 15 years after the fact, she'll write to one priest, Father Neuner, "Jesus simply gave himself to me to the full. Oh, the sweetness, the union of that time passed but too soon." Her experience is that she's feeling unloved, unwanted by Jesus. She feels that she cannot love Jesus as she wants to love him, as she's never been loved before, which is a daring resolution to even make if you're taking it seriously. So we would have, I think, myself, all of us were assuming that, you know, being Mother Teresa wasn't easy, and that, you know, you're always on just to guide a growing congregation of 4,000 sisters, never mind all the other things that are demands made on you. Mother, go here, go there. Can you receive this award? Can you speak there? There's a problem over there. So from 4:40 in the morning until late at night. So we would have thought at least she's enjoying this great consolation, this union with Jesus that gives her the energy to keep going day after day. And then we discover quite the contrary, and it just makes her life so much more heroic that she lived, just in pure and naked faith, not that she experienced any of this consolation. And that was her experience. So she's a saint of darkness because that's what she was going through. And also we need to understand it because she would say, once she left India, she and the sisters, then she discovered, as she would say, the greatest poverty in the world today is to be unloved, unwanted, and uncared for. So just like living poorly, as the poor do, she was identified with, in solidarity with, the materially poor. She is also in solidarity with now this spiritual poverty, which could be anyone from any category, rich, middle class, anyone could, and maybe perhaps all of us in some degree, at some point, feel unloved, unwanted, uncared for. So she's living in this spiritual poverty. And so that's why I think her mission statement, "I will be absent from heaven," because she'll be concerned for those who are living in this darkness of being this spiritual poverty and being unloved, unwanted, uncared for.
When you were reading these letters for the first time, what was going through your mind? How did they make you feel?
Okay.
To discover this about her?
Most of these letters came from Calcutta in the Archbishop's house or the Jesuit archives in Calcutta. I read the letter and was like, "Oh, wow." Now, I don't remember if I cried or not, but later when we were working in Calcutta, I would read some of these letters to the sisters in Mother House, and many of them knew Mother personally, and they were really crying because you're reading them and it's your mother, and then you're hearing this and you have a sense of how she's suffering. If that's not love for God, then I don't know what is.
And that was the postulator of Mother Teresa's sainthood cause, Father Brian Kolodejczuk, speaking to Tracy McClure. And that's all we have time for on today's programme. Thanks so much for joining us here on Vatican Radio. I'm Susie Hodges, and until next time, Laudato Jesus Christus.